Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the March 18th meeting of the Portland City Council. Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Novit.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Let's begin with a real loss for our city and some sadness that we all need to encompass, and that is we lost Gretchen Cafori last week. A woman who was a voice in this chamber and everywhere in the community for people who have the least and for people who need housing and for a great city. I had the privilege of serving with Gretchen. A lot of us had the privilege of working with her. She has left a great legacy in this city, but also left a big void in leaving us too soon. So let's take a moment, please, for Gretchen. Thank you very much. Flags on city buildings will remain at half staff for the rest of this week to honor her, and we reach out to Deborah and the rest of her family to say we're with them in this tough time.
Mayor, the family has not finalized the program yet, but right. I'm told that the service may be on April 4th.
Yeah, okay.
So I think we're all been asked to put a soft hold on that. Again, that may not be the date, but that's what they're working with now.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, let's move into this morning's business. We have some people signed up for communications up front, and then we have some time certain items and a consent calendar. What's been pulled to regular? Just number 281. Anything else that someone wants to pull from the consent calendar to the regular calendar? Okay, so let's take communications items first, please. Number 274.
274, request of Natalia Chevelle to address council regarding right to survive houseless issues.
Okay, Natalia. Okay, let's try the next one.
Request of Aaron James to address council regarding homeless houseless issues.
Aaron? Okay, let's try 276.
Request of Amber Dunks to address council regarding houseless issues.
Seen Amber here. Is Amber here? Nope. Okay, keep going, please.
Request of Charles Johnson to address council regarding hashtag don't shoot PDX, Portland Police, hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtags Women's History Month, and NAACP 1120.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and congratulations to the clerk for translating the pound symbol as hashtag when she reads. In the past couple days, especially today with the disastrous federal budget that's being proposed, some of our concerns about racial equity and justice have been gotten a little bit less attention, but I just want to encourage the mayor to continue to reach out to a wide spectrum of African-American groups. In the last couple months, we've seen a program to help preserve community identity, $20 million invested in that. This year, the local NAACP chapter is reinvigorating itself by selecting Joanne Hardesty to be the chapter president. And it's always a little bit disappointing to come over here and speak to you as opposed to speaking to the county commission across the river, because we haven't yet figured out how we're going to get 20% ethnic minority representation up there, whether we're going to talk Lou Frederick into leaving Salem and perhaps replacing one of y'all. But we know that you are increasing the amount of time that you're working with groups that are trying to do the work of preserving the history and improving the quality of life for African Americans and all the minorities in Portland today. I'm wearing my Unidos Con Francisco shirt, and we're very grateful for the mayor's support and the positive outcome we had there, where at least locally we've done a better job than nationwide influencing immigration authorities to be slightly less harsh. There's still, right here in the Northwest and especially across the country, way too many families that are being negatively impacted, quality, hardworking people that are being taken out of the workforce and suffering trauma because of what are really racist desires to push people back across the border into a Mexico and Central American area where U.S. economic and foreign policy is just devastating, hardworking agrarian and factory workers. So as the city moves forward, working on this new program with J.P. Morgan Chase, I hope that human rights will always be the number one concern before economic development, both looking for international business partners and as we develop the city. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Okay, 278, please.
278, request of Joyce Montgomery to address council regarding Pleasant Valley v. Overlay.
Joyce, are you here?
Joyce was in touch with me earlier this week, and okay. She won't be able to make it. She's going to reschedule.
Oh, all right. Okay, thank you. All right, then let's move to the consent calendar. Again, if there are no requests to remove items from the consent calendar, let's take a roll call on that, please. Oh, other than 281, which we've already pulled.
Sorry.
Did you have a request? I'm sorry. To take something off consent?
I was just pointing out that only one person showed up to speak.
Yeah.
In communication, because it takes 2 months to sign up.
Yeah.
You cannot be current 2 months past tense. That's why people are not showing up. In county, we go, we speak, we sign up that day. Why can't we do that here?
We'll look at that. We'll look at that option.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's take a roll call on consent, please.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, time certain, 279.
279, accept Office of Equity and Human Rights 2014 annual report.
Well, Dante James, our director, is here, and along with others on his team and from the community to talk about this important work. Really, I think got to see just a slice of how the Office of Equity is adding value in a new way, or maybe in a more rigorous way, yesterday when we went through the first two very long, boring presentations from city bureaus about their budget. Well, to normal people, they're boring. To us, they're great. And the point of this anecdote and this not really argument about whether they're boring or not is that one part of the discussion was each of those bureaus got to stand and deliver on how well they used the equity lens in preparing their city budget proposal. And our director was there, and the council was very engaged in that, and our citizen budget advisors as well. So one more way in which a commitment to equity is getting woven into the fabric of what the city does and to make it real. So I know that's Director James's mission, and we appreciate him very much, and thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you, sir. So good morning, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. It's truly my distinct pleasure to be here. Celebrating what is actually the third anniversary of the Office of Equity and Human Rights and present our annual report for 2014. My first day of work, and therefore in my mind, the official opening of the office, was March 15, 2012, just a couple of days ago. Much work, and I dare say significant changes, have happened in a very short period of time. The task of the office is essentially to change culture by addressing policies and practices that create barriers and detrimental outcomes for people of color and people with a disability. And those who have taken our training sessions know that race has been codified in law in one form or fashion since the early 1600s. And real discussions addressing engagement and respect for people with disabilities are a fairly recent occurrence. The institutional aspects of racism and ableism did not come into play overnight, and they will not be eradicated in any short time frame. That being said, I must offer specific and significant thanks to the many employees who have taken up the task of making the City of Portland a place where everyone can feel welcome, heard, and valued. And equity is, in fact, at the heart of how the city provides its services to all residents. And before I begin my presentation, I would like to acknowledge several different groups of people in the room. First and foremost, my staff. I would ask my staff, the staff of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, to stand and or make yourselves known and to be recognized, please.
Good morning.
So without these passionate leaders, equity work in the City of Portland would not be where it is today. They are tasked with having the conversations about race and disability that most people would prefer not to have. Every day, they are tasked with having courageous and difficult conversations about race and disability. If it in fact takes a village to raise a child, and the city of Portland is that child, then these are the elders of the village, ensuring the safety, care, nurturing, and growth of that child every day. So thank you very much to my staff. I also want to acknowledge a group of equity practitioners who are also here in the room, who may be a little bit late since we're getting a good early start. These are directors of equity programs or heads of organizations working on equity in the Portland metro community. And I would ask that they please stand or make themselves known and be recognized as well.
Thank you.
These are representatives from United Way, Portland State University, Planned Parenthood, and the Oregon Bar Association. They're here to support the work of their cousin, the City of Portland. It is with great appreciation and humility that I recognize their support. Again, if it takes a village, it will take more than just one village to address the systemic issues addressing our residents. The city is fortunate to have these, our cousins, also doing their work. And we also have members of our commissions who are here present today. The Human Rights Commission and the Portland Commission on Disability are doing excellent work on behalf of their communities and all of Portland. If you could also stand or make yourselves known to be recognized, I would appreciate it.
Thank you for your volunteer service.
Also, there are representatives of the Citywide Equity Committee who may be here today, so if also you could make yourselves known or recognized.
Thank you.
And I'm not quite sure, we may have some of the city's Title II and Title VI coordinators here this morning, so if you are here, please stand or make yourselves recognized. All right.
Yeah.
Also, the representatives and members of DEEP, the Diverse and Empowered Employees of Portland, which is the umbrella organization for the over 10 affinity groups dedicated to creating a supportive and inclusive workplace for employees of the City of Portland. I know Deborah is here, but if you could also stand or make yourself recognized.
Yes, thank you.
So, commissioners, as you can see, it truly does take a village to do this work. And in your role, I truly appreciate your leadership in courageously and unapologetically making equity a vital component of the work of the city. As we begin our report, and it's probably not going to be a report in the way that you're used to receiving, which hopefully won't be quite as boring as you thought the work was yesterday, I've already met with each of you individually and given you the highlights of the actual report. My goal today is not to just read documents to you, but my goal is to provide some greater depth and breadth to the material that you have in the actual document and show you some pictures as examples of the work that we have accomplished in the last year and answer any questions you may have, and then let a few of our colleagues and community members speak to the work that we have done with them. So the report is a presentation of the actual year of 2014, not the fiscal year. So it runs from January through December of last year. This year, we have actually reconfigured the office and taken on more and different responsibility in order to improve our services. We added the responsibility of overseeing the ADA Title II and 1964 Civil Rights Act Title VI programs, giving the office a true civil rights function. We have added the Black Male Achievement Portland, which I will speak on a little bit later. And we have shifted and moved the New Portlanders program to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement in order for it to be best served by the Bureau that truly functions specifically on behalf of neighborhoods. So what have we been doing? We have influenced change by providing education and technical assistance. That's essentially our theory of change. That if we provide education so people can better understand what equity is, how it's accomplished, how they can perform it in their specific job, we will be better moved. And if we can provide the technical assistance as the Office of Equity to those folks doing this work to assist them, we will also be better moved. And so in beginning that process, last year we were very fortunate to be able to host as a city the Governing for Racial Equity Conference. And I know some of you attended that conference. We had at what was supposed to be a regional conference over 450 participants from as far away as Boston, New York, and Virginia. We still get calls on the relationships that we have created based on that conference and requests for assistance and support and the connections that we have certainly as a region with Seattle, San Francisco, King County, Multnomah County, continue, and they continue to be enlarged as more and more jurisdictions become a part of this work. The conference also resulted in the removal in the city of Portland of any language regarding criminal convictions from the city employment applications. We raised awareness and a level of respect, absolutely. Truly thanks to Anna Canwin in HR, who was a participant in the conference, and she walked away very moved, I think, by what she learned and what she participated in. So it's reflected in just that small piece of change. We raised the level of awareness and respect for the Office of Equity nationwide for the city of Portland. I get calls every week from cities around the country asking how we do this work, how we engaged, how the office was begun, what the process was, what kinds of things we are doing, what technical assistance can we provide for them. So the scope of the work is enlarged just because of who knows that we are doing it. And actually, Portland is truly a leader in this work nationwide now. OEHR was used as a model and informed the creation of the Tacoma Office of Equity and Human Rights. I and a couple of my staff went up to Tacoma. We spoke with city council. We spoke with the city manager. And that's their staff has actually come down and spent time with my staff, participated in our trainings. And their Office of Equity and Human Rights was begun in December of last year. And so it truly is modeled on the Office of Equity here in Portland. And just a couple of months ago, I was engaged in conversations, getting a phone call from one of the city council people in the city of Oakland who wanted to figure out how we did what we did, how we do what we do, and use the office as a model in putting forth a resolution in the city of Oakland to create the Office of Equity in the city of Oakland. I have followed up since it was presented, so I'm not quite sure where that is. I think it was kind of in first conversation, but clearly another example of the work that the office does and how it's respected nationwide. We've influenced change in the training that we do. We have, at least in 2014, trained over 1,200 participants from across city bureaus. Of the surveys that we've received back from over 900 of them, 92% of the participants said they found the training worthwhile. And 75% said that they gained tools to apply equity principles in their work immediately upon returning to their job, which is, I think, is a huge statement. So the work of the training is not just to educate in the sense of let's have a conversation, let's hopefully you understand what this is about. But it's really about what tools can you walk away with to then implement the work of equity. How do you begin to do this work? And if equity is essentially a critical thinking exercise, how do we engage you and empower you to begin to ask those questions so that equity can be a part of the work every day that the bureaus do? We have influenced change in bureau leadership teams. There are six bureaus who have trained all of their leadership teams at a specific request of our office. Bureau of Environmental Services, Bureau of Developmental Services, Water Bureau, Transportation, Fire, and Police. There are six bureaus that have provided training specifically for their entire staff. So six bureaus or elected offices in 2014 did we provide training for their entire staff. The City Attorney's Office, the City Auditor's Office, Housing Bureau, Budget Office, Mayor Hale's Office, Commissioner Fritz's Office. And to note, in 2015, both Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Novick have recently reached out to the Office of Equity to get their staff's training scheduled as well.
We've done that too.
Oh, and Commissioner Sossman, thank you, sir.
By the way, you gave us the option of doing it in our office or doing it in a group setting, and we opted for the group setting based on your advice because we thought that would be even more valuable to be part of a broader conversation and not just one that's done behind our closed doors.
Mm-hmm. And I truly think that is the case, the opportunity to sit with staff from other bureaus and really engage across bureaus and remove those silos and have those conversations in a different way, I think will make its own statement. So thank you, sir. How else have we influenced change? We've influenced change from the training as well as in our technical assistance in performance evaluation language. There are some bureaus now that have begun to incorporate and engage performance language regarding equity in their bureaus. RFP language. Certainly, we worked with the Children's Levy and other bureaus in putting out RFP, the Housing Bureau, in adding equity language to their RFPs so that those proposers understand and know that the city does, in fact, take equity seriously, and it's important to understand that it's a part of what will be expected of them in the work that they do on behalf of the city. Additionally, in procurement, we have worked to ease requirements in certain small contract opportunities. I've sit on the pre-qualification board, and so working with the idea of qualification of prime contractors and trying to increase utilization of minority and small businesses is what we've also accomplished. In the civil rights program, our goal is to really make it a more robust Title II and Title VI program and engage. Each bureau has an ADA and Title VI coordinator, and they've become very engaged, and Danielle Brooks is really taking the lead in providing assistance and training and asking for and providing them some technical assistance and expertise so that they can not just be receivers of complaints, but the idea is to make it a robust program so it's proactive, not just reactive in responding to some complaint.
I just have to stop you at this point because that's a real benchmark that, or an achievement in my mind that we had envisioned when we first set up the Office of Equity and Human Rights, that civil rights component would be there. And the fact that you now have the capacity and that you worked with the Office of Management and Finance to move that program into the Office of Equity is significant. And I congratulate you. Thank you to Danielle Brooks for all of her work on that, too.
Great. Thank you. We continue to influence change. The Citywide Equity Committee. The Citywide Equity Committee has put together the pilot bureau's assessment of its racial equity roadmap, rolled out to five pilot bureaus that completed those, and now we're rolling out the first wave so that each bureau will be required to complete its own racial equity roadmap or strategic plan that will be essentially a five-year plan that's a living document that will have metrics, timetables, goals, so that it can be evaluated and there can be real questions about how are we assisting, how are we actually achieving equity, and how do we measure that work. The Human Rights Commission and the Commission on Disability are both fully functioning commissions, and they will provide reports later to council, so I'm not going to go into detail. You have some specific information in the actual document itself that details some of the work that they do, but suffice it to say, they are doing the good work of the residents of the city. We have added the Black Male Achievement Portland program, our initiative. It's a program of the National League of Cities that initially began, was sponsored out of the mayor's office through the National League of Cities. It's a collaborative led by a steering committee of black men who represent over 20 organizations, nonprofit, for-profit, or government agencies. It focuses on the removal of barriers to accessing high-quality and equitable employment, education, public safety, and livable communities on behalf of black men and boys. BMA acts as a convener, facilitator, policy guide, and collective voice to obtain data, push for policy change, increase program scale, and exert influence to create awareness and change to improve the outcomes for black men and boys. We have recently offered position statements at the state capitol on a couple of bills, as well as a letter regarding some criminal justice issues to a juvenile justice task force headed by Judge Nan Waller that meets regularly to address some of the criminal justice issues relating to the Multnomah County's philosophy of using the Annie Casey Foundation's idea that detention should not be used unless as a last resort for juveniles. And there are groups or individuals in the county and in the state that are pushing to roll that back. And so the BMA actually took a position that that's not the way to go. So the BMA is, in fact, making some significant voices being heard at this point. Deep volunteers have organized well-attended events and continue to support and celebrate the diversity in the city of Portland. they hold monthly events. If you haven't attended one, I certainly encourage you to. Some of the speakers that they bring are phenomenal. It's always good to go get some food when some of those cultural celebrations are had. But beyond that, diversity is more than just about, you know, food. It's really about how do we create an understanding and awareness of who is working in the city. And, in fact, DEEP is doing good work in making sure that we are aware of and respectful for who works in this city. We have continued to work on and add to our demographics dashboard that you can see on the website. We've recently added, in addition to gender, age, disability, and race, we've added veteran status, which is now viewable on the online dashboard, which is located on our website, as we work to continue and further define and make transparent the city's workforce. So this is obviously self-reported. Not everyone who is, in fact, a veteran reports that or wishes to use their status in seeking employment, so it's not necessarily a perfect number. But it gives us a snapshot of who in fact, are veterans here working within the city. And I don't know if you had a chance to see DEEP sponsored, when was it? During Veterans Day, there was a, in the Portland building, in the back in the case there, was a wonderful display of photos of some of the employees of the city who are veterans when they were, in fact, veterans. It was just a phenomenal display, very powerful display. And so I know for a fact that everybody enjoyed it who saw it, and there were emails going back and forth about why I didn't get to send my picture and get my picture up, but I'm going to do that next year. So I would imagine we might need a bigger space next year. So it was a wonderful display. So if you didn't get a chance to see it, I would encourage you just to keep that on your radar for this coming year. So, looking forward, our goal essentially is to continue to institutionalize the concepts of equity in this city. Yesterday was a prime example of how we can do that. You know, if we want to find out what's important to a city, follow the money. And so yesterday, in asking those questions about budget and where the money is going, I think is a phenomenal example of how we are institutionalizing equity in this city. So kudos to the budget office, kudos to council, kudos to the mayor for bringing that to the forefront in that meeting. But it's just, I think, a prime example of equity that people don't necessarily think about. And when I talk to other jurisdictions or entities doing this work, and I describe the budget equity tool, and I describe the fact that I'll be sitting at a budget hearing discussing equity, they are amazed. And they are envious because it's not happening in a lot of places. And so it just speaks to the commitment of the city in that kind of example. So thank you. We will continue to roll out the equity roadmap for all the bureaus. All the bureaus are expected to complete their roadmap by the end of 2015. And they'll complete them, turn them in, get some feedback, and they'll be working with our staff. Kenya Budd specifically is working, Judith Mowry working with them, to really engage and ensure that the best product comes about as we do this work. We will continue to do our trainings and offer our services to the bureaus. Kofi Dessou and others who are assisting us with our training continue to roll this out. And we continue to be asked for more and more types of training, as people recognize and realize the depth and breadth of what doing equity really means. We're going to actually add to our training so that it's more specific to or more speaks to disability issues and concerns. Beth Kay has been working on that, as well as we're working with the Commission on Disability to really beef up that training, if you will, and or add a specific training that we can provide to the bureaus through the Title II ADA work that we're doing. We will maintain, through the Governing for Racial Equity Network, our leadership role. As I've said, we continue to engage with other jurisdictions, and those are trying to engage and become a part of the regional network. We are also a part of the national network, the Alliance, that has been pushed, moved forward, so that we will also be attending the conference this year in, it's in Seattle, right? Well, I was thinking Minneapolis. Yes, so it's in Seattle, so still in the neighborhood, but that's the national the regional conference for here will be in Seattle, and nationally it's also taking place on the East Coast as well. We will continue to do our consultation. We've been recently engaged in working with the COCO and the COAB process regarding the DOJ settlement agreement. Been engaged in working with the taxi drivers and the private for hire board in trying to figure out how we do this, how we deal with Uber, how we deal with Lyft, how we ensure that we are not throwing the taxi drivers under the bus, literally, as we or under the taxi, I guess, as we do this, and so trying to ensure that the drivers whose work this is to make a living every day and feed their families are not overcome by folks who want to have some additional spending money more often than not. And so really working with Commissioner Novick and his staff as well as others to ensure that we come out with the best product when we do this work. Also, as I will look forward, as I think I mentioned to each of you, I'll be coming back specifically asking that in whatever proposal that may be, that the citywide equity one-on-one training that we do becomes a mandatory training for all employees. We have, as we next week go to our budget, we'll be able to tell you that we did not meet our goal in training for city employees. And essentially that's because we can't mandate it. We can't require it. We offer it, bureaus specifically ask, or individuals just sign up through the City Learner process on HR's website. So that's a way, a minimal way, I guess, that maintains and remains as a barrier for being able to train and encourage and educate as many of the city employees as we, possibly can about the work that we're doing and the philosophy of the city as it moves equity forward.
Can you come back to this question about whether you can mandate this or not? I'm thinking about the fact that we currently require employees annually to get 2.02 training.
Yes.
And we're making it as user friendly as possible. Perhaps someday it'll be interactive on the web or something. Mm-hmm. But we require that. Why can't the city require on a reasonable schedule citywide equity 101? For example, logistically, I understand that you're talking about a lot of people, so you might decide that every 2 years is satisfactory. That would be your recommendation. Mm-hmm. You also might decide that it should be at the outset mandatory for all new employees. So we build that in. But what has to happen for that to become mandatory?
My understanding, and I've had this conversation with Anna Kenwood, to say, how did you get 2.2 mandatory?
Could you just explain to folks watching what 2.02 is?
Thank you. 2.2 is the city's harassment training that describes what is unacceptable, inappropriate behavior in the city as it relates to individuals' interpersonal relationships. And so, honestly, Anna said she wasn't sure how it became that way. She believes that it was a resolution a requirement by council to make it mandatory. But then we also have mandatory managers and supervisors training regarding cultural competency, which I don't think you did. There's also the mandatory child abuse training, which is state required. But I think that you can, by consensus, make it mandatory, although I would prefer to institutionalize that and have it written somewhere so that it's concretely required. So that's
well. The thing about 2.02 is HR sends out notices. People are required to go. People are required to sign a form saying that they've gotten the training and they agree to be bound. And there's many reasons for that. It's an area that prudent employers are doing that generally around in public and private employers. But it seems to me again, the question for you to advise us on is at what frequency,
yes.
Given that it imposes burdens on your team as well. I would say at a minimum, new hires, and then everybody in round one, and then at a frequency that you think is appropriate and doable.
Okay.
But I believe the council can mandate that if that's your pleasure.
Yes, thank you. That's what we'll be coming back with. And just as an FYI, currently, everyone who goes through the Equity 101 training is recorded through HR because they sign up through City Learner, and so it's recorded through HR. Or even if they have not, we record their names and submit them to HR, so it's put into their portfolio of trainings that they have received. Commissioner, did you have a question? Okay. And then also be coming back to City Council to talk about overall citywide equity, racial equity goals. One of the, I guess, comments slash concerns sometimes from some of the our community members is that they didn't really see an overall racial equity strategy in the work that the office was doing, even though they have no qualms or agree that all the work we are doing is what should be being done. There's just no title for it. There's no overall process for that. And so in having the conversation, you know, in the same way that there is a definite infrastructure for disability, addressing issues of disability in the city, there's a commission on disability. There is the ADA transition plan to remove barriers, physical barriers for people with disability. The city is a model employer of people with disability. There is nothing in the same way for communities of color. And so this would provide an opportunity for you to be able to say to your directors and them to their staff, how are you helping the city achieve its equity goals? And so our intention is to return with a set few specific racial equity goals and ask for your consideration to implement those as a citywide expectation, and then also be able to define some of the metrics that would fall within those.
You know, Mr. Director, each of us has the opportunity to give an annual letter to a director with expectations for that forthcoming year, and sometimes it's just the priorities that the commissioner in charge and the director have set, but often it also includes things like this that are part of overall city objectives. I think it might also be helpful if we came up with some model language of what you'd like to see in all director letters, mm-hmm. that identify that so we're doing this in a consistent way, saying we expect you will make progress towards this city goal, and then setting forth some kind of measurable outcome. Each bureau is different. Each bureau has a different workforce, composition of leadership, et cetera. But I think I would urge you to work with us to come up with model language that we try to institutionalize across all those letters, because that's how we're going to get at what you're looking for, which is a citywide consistency.
Okay.
Good idea.
And to be clear, you said all the bureau directors get one every year?
Because
mine must have gotten lost in the mail.
Supposed to get one every
okay.
year.
Okay.
Well, I want to commend Commissioner Fish, too, for working with you, Dante, and the job application for the Bureau of Environmental Services. And you had pointed out that we, at the director level, especially and actually in all senior management positions from now on, we should be asking not only for awareness of what do we mean by equity, but demonstrated performance improvements. And so I saw that you put that in the environmental services director position, and likewise I think that should become a standard for all director hires that the job description require. If you've worked your way up and you're ready to lead an organization, you should have some demonstrated ability to get things done with regards to equity, not just I read the Portland plan and I can spout it.
Right.
Well, I appreciate that, because the HR is working with Dante's shop to do that. In fact, we did two focus groups. One of them was with employees who looked at the job description and said, we don't think this goes far enough or needs. So actually the job description and the requirements for the job were completely rewritten based on two focus groups. So that's, you know, mm-hmm. I think it was very helpful.
That's great. And I absolutely agree, Commissioner Fritz, that at this level, the expectation is that you have accomplished something, not that you say you understand what it means. So I think that's at a minimum what some of those questions should be about. So as I wrap up, I want to say thank you to the mayor for his continued leadership on this issue. You have truly taken this issue on as one which you address regularly, put support and resources behind to accomplish, and unapologetically push for the dismantling of barriers based on race and disability in this city. So specifically, thank you, Mayor. And as always, and especially on this anniversary, I have to thank the commissioner who brought me to the dance and continues to put her values and vision of equity behind the work she does on behalf of all of the residents of the city of Portland. So thank you very much, Commissioner Fritz, for all of your support and all that you do. So at this time, I can take any questions you may have or move into the guests that I've invited to offer their remarks.
Okay. Questions for Dante at this point?
I compliment you for working in the lobby for your budget ask. The record will be reflected. Everyone was nodding as you said that. So
thank you. I'm not really new at this work, so that helps.
Great. Thank you very much, Dante. And okay. We have some folks specifically.
We do. We do. So at this time, Jeff Helfrich and others from the city, Leslie, and is Carmen here? Carmen Malone, thank you.
Slide up another chair. Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
You want me to go? Okay.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Commissioners, Mayor. I'm Leslie Goodlow. I'm the Business Operations Manager for the Housing Bureau, and I'm here to speak to the relationship that the Housing Bureau has with the Office of Equity. As you know, we share space, and we provide some admin services for them. But beyond that, we have quite the familial relationship. We spend a lot of time going back and forth down the hall and providing consultation and technical assistance on a variety of things. The OEHR has been very generous with their time with us, with their expertise and their willingness to support us as we have been working through our equity agenda at the Housing Bureau. Specifically, internally, we started about 18 months ago. Our staff decided they wanted to do an equity survey of what do our staff know about equity? What do they think the managers know about equity? And OEHR assisted our staff in developing that survey. And then once the survey was done, in the interpretation and facilitation of conversations with the teams after we completed the results. So what did the results mean? What did the results mean specifically to each team? And how do we now roll those conversations into our roadmap? The Office of Equity provided a specific all-staff trainings at two different retreats. They customized the Equity 101 training for our staff based on conversations and questions that arose from our equity assessment. They provided consultation along with the city attorney when we were working through adding access and outcome data goals into our subrecipient contracts so that we had the correct language that did not get us into trouble. And so Dante was very helpful in drafting that language. They have provided support not only for the Bureau in as we have started working through completing the roadmap, but also as we have made equity assessments and plans a requirement for our subrecipients, they've been very generous in providing technical assistance not only to us, but to our subrecipients. They have provided assistance to us and specifically to me as we started with our North-Northeast process and doing the engagement and how do we reach out to people, how do we do things in a way that is not offensive, how do we present information in a non-governmental fashion? Dante was there, and Jeff specifically helping us to get the word out. Dante has participated, as he said, in our notice of funding availability, not only in the review process as an outside reviewer, but also in drafting the language around the equity piece, as he mentioned. They have provided equity training for our subrecipients and assisted me with my HR processes, both assisting with outreach and sitting on interview panels and on very short notice sometimes. And then last but not least, I would like to talk about the fact that we have staff that are struggling with how to incorporate equity into their everyday jobs, and the Office of Equity staff have been willing to sit down with those teams on a regular basis about how to change program design, how to incorporate equity into all aspects of their work so it's not an add-on, it's a regular piece of their employment. So I just would like to support the work that they've done. Dante has provided lots of assistance to me in my almost 3 years here at the city, and I really appreciate all the work that they do. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Jeff Helfrich. I am a sergeant with the Portland Police Bureau, and I'm in charge of our personnel division. And I was assigned to the personnel division in June of 2014, and I reached out to Dante to talk with him about what the issues that he explained earlier through his presentation and how that impacts the Bureau and the hiring process. When I was assigned to the personnel division, I was tasked with revamping our oral board questions and then looking at our testing process itself as a whole. Dante helped. I called Dante up and asked him for his help, and also if he had any individual community members that wanted to be a part of the work group in revamping our oral board questions and our test, or the actual written test that we take. He quickly volunteered, and he, even though it doesn't sound like a lot of hours, 25 hours, but there were marathon meetings at 4 hours a shot. I offered light refreshments and pastries, and he was quickly attended, as everybody else seems to do when we have those. That being said, it's his services, the director's services, have been invaluable for me and for my team, because not only are we the front doors to the police bureau, we welcome in and we're recruiting local homegrown candidates for the job and position of community policing officer, but also the non-sworn part of that. He's helping me look through the process, not only through the oral board, but the test questions and our background investigations are sort of quite extensive. So he's helped with that. He's also helped identify people to work on those projects, other community members, which has been a valuable asset for us. For me, as a city employee, I've appreciated the lunch sessions that we've had, the equity discussions. I think it's very valuable to have that for the city employees to be a part of that process. And on a side note, Commissioner Saltzman knows this, and Mayor Hales, but the other three commissioners don't know this, is I'm an elected leader also in my community, and I use the information that I gather here with my fellow council members where I'm at, and to make sure we're looking through the same equity lens and receiving that training and bringing it back to my city and my city manager to ensure that we're doing things properly too. So it's just not within the borders of Portland does this affect. It affects further out than that. That reaches out a lot further. So thank you for your time in this, and if you have any questions.
Thank you. And you and your team, Sergeant, I think everybody understands it's going to be pretty busy here this year because of both current vacancies and anticipated retirements. We're going to be hiring a lot of police officers.
From now till 2024, we'll have 500 new police officers. Between now and 2018, 200 is what the eligible and probably the projections will be.
A big challenge, big opportunity.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Carmen.
Mayor, Commissioners, Carmen Murillo, the Director of the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. Thank you for the opportunity to provide very brief and not boring remarks.
Oh, I'm going to pay for that, I know.
Regarding our collaboration with the Office of Equity and Human Rights, I think you know that disasters do impact those who have less more significantly, and so one of the major projects that we're working on right now is an update of our natural hazard mitigation plan. As part of that update, we intend to, as one of its main themes, promotes social equity as part of neighborhood natural hazard mitigation. So to that end, I want to thank the Office of Equity, Director James in particular, and also to their civil rights manager for helping us with the scope of work and selecting the vendor to do that. I'm also very grateful to the office for their financial contribution. Most recently, they provided funding for us to translate emergency messages into the 10 safe harbor languages. So we're very grateful for their work, and we look forward to working with them on this and other initiatives in the future.
Thank you. Thank you all. So who's next? Please come on up. Good morning. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Me first?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Ladies first.
Okay. Hello, my name's LaVon Kuster, and I am the chair of the Portland Commission on Disability. And I'm just going to tell you a little story about my week last week, and this has to do with the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I basically started my week on Monday with a meeting with Dante James. As the new chair, I wanted to go in and speak with him about how the Portland Commission on Disability and the Office of Equity and Human Rights could partner to beef up the disability programs and to support each other in the work that we're doing. And when I came in there, he was emphatic about that it's important that we meet together regularly, which made me feel welcome. It made me feel like he wants me to be in there and be part of the conversation, which is really important because, as many of you know, people with disabilities are often left out of many conversations. So I updated him on a lot of the things that are going on, and it's work that the office has been supporting over the past year. We've got the ADA transition plan, where we've been receiving support from the Office of Equity and Human Rights. We have the model employer, which has really picked up in the past year, and we've been receiving support there. The comp plan, the private for hire, and then the ADA, oh, I already said the ADA transition plan. There's one other thing. I can't think of what it is, but actually, oh, the DOJ and the COAB. And so we've been receiving support on many things. And then there's always, and we talked about this, Dante James and I did, always those little things. It's just, it never ends. There's the big overarching things, but there's always tons of little things that are constantly coming in, and we have to make decisions. You know, does this fit in our purview? Does this fit somewhere else? And so that was our meeting. But he did ask, as I was, you know, we were closing up, he said that I'm to hold him, you know, responsible and to basically come in and let him know if I have issues and if there are things that are not happening the way that I would like. And that hopefully other commissioners, hopefully I'll be a voice for the full commission, but also, quite honestly, everybody in our commission can walk in, can ask for a meeting with him and can walk into his door, because before I was ever the chair, I was walking in and asking for things and bringing things to his attention, and he opened his door and allowed me in. So this has been my experience with him. This one is not what happened last week, but just an aside, when we were talking, I mentioned to him, and I thanked him for, we have offered a couple of different disability trainings on intersectionality and things like that, and he has come to them, and he's learned something, and I see him bring that information and bring it into other places, which I think is very valuable, because the disability community cannot work on its own to make change. We need to be working as a part of a larger group. And the fact that when he learns something, he takes it and he brings it out, it's really important. The rest of my week was just all kinds of stuff. And you know, you work for the city. I may volunteer, but it's still, there is constantly things coming across. And so Beth Kay, who works for the Office of Equity and Human Rights, was there to support me through it all. She was doing research. She was sending out proposals. She was cleaning up documents. Many of you know that I am legally blind, but I also have a learning disability. So she has to support me because I don't write well, and she takes what I put down that's all scrambled and makes it look beautiful. So she's in there constantly every day, and I suspect she works more time than she's letting anyone know because she seems to be there no matter when I need her. The last day, or actually it was Thursday, I took Friday off because I got sick, but Thursday I went to the Equity 101 training. I've been through a million and one diversity trainings and inclusion trainings and intercultural communications and things like this, but I wanted to go to the equity training because although I've been learning about equity, I went and I sat through it. It was amazing. It was great. And because Dante and I had been talking about how we can beef up the disability part of the programs being offered through OEHR, I could see how we could either create its own Equity 101 training for disability or really beef up that, because we are working at two different baselines with disability and racial issues. There's different baselines, and so we're going to have to do some new, you know, some foundational work with disability. But he was open to it. It was wonderful, and the staff there have supported me for the past 3 years since I've been in some form of leadership with the Portland Commission on Disability. I've come to many different people in that office, and they have always supported me. So I would like to thank you for making sure that they're here. They are very important, and I can't imagine this city without the Portland Commission on Disability, and we need somewhere to be housed, so thank you for the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and thank you for all the work you've done.
Thanks very much. Appreciate your amazing amount of volunteer service.
Thank you, Commissioner Hester, and I would like to take credit for having the program with on disability as part of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, but in fact it was the Commission on Disability who insisted that our program be focused on race and also have a focus on disability. That's different from most offices of equity and civil rights across the country, and I think it makes us way stronger. So thank you very much to you and your fellow commissioners for all the work that you do. I think your description of your week sounds like a full-time job in itself, and of course you did as a volunteer, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Mercy Koffer, and this is Lucina Jidepin. We are from the Liberian community. We have an organization called Oregon Association for Liberia, and we are representing our community here today. And we have a relationship with the Office of Equity and Human Rights, especially with Dante James. It has been a wonderful time during the Ebola outbreak. We were in out of desperation. We stepped out in the state and said, like, we are Liberians. We moved into Portland to seek refuge. But eventually, we all became citizens of America, naturalized, of course. And we are members of the state of Oregon. And when the Ebola outbreak was in Liberia, we were also having the Ebola here in other sense because we were suffering and we did not know what it was and we did not know who to go to for help. So out of desperation, we started looking for help and wondering who could help us, who could listen to us, how can we get a word out there that even though Ebola is in Liberia, but there are Liberians here, who's going to listen to us? We did not know any way around, but the system does work because we started from the 211 number. And they directed us to a lady called Addison Melson. She's a event coordinator for Portland. And when we got to her, she was really nice, and she welcomed us, and she gave us a list of people that we could contact to get our word out there, to get support for Ebola for people here and people back home. But she stressed that out of this list, I need you to meet the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Dante James is the head of that community, that department, but you have to make an appointment to see him. But at the time, we did not have time to make an appointment with anyone. We wanted to get in the street of Oregon and let people know that Liberians live here, and there was outbreak of Ebola in Liberia, and people needed help there. So we did not make an appointment. We set up a delegation. She is one of the